10% of WYXR's annual funding, $85,000, used to come from federal support. That funding is now gone. If you enjoy this archive, please make a donation, start a monthly gift, or add a few dollars to your current one. As public media faces an uncertain future, support from our Memphis community matters more than ever. Give now at WYXR.org.
Has recently died down, according to local business owners.
In February 2025, one of Memphis's most notable Mexican food stand locations was raided by men who were later confirmed to be ICE agents. At the time, Latino Memphis's executive director, Mauricio Calvo, predicted fear would prevent people from going to work or sending their children to school. Now, he said, people are trying to resume normal activities, but it's nearly impossible, and that includes visiting restaurants. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Ellen Chamberlain.
Tennessee officials released more results from the high-stakes state exams students took in the spring. Laura Testino says the scores, published on August 15th, show how school campuses performed on the TCAP tests.
The Tennessee Department of Education first released state and district-level results from the tests earlier this summer. Memphis-Shelby County schools posted steady gains in most subject areas, although the district's overall scores continued to lag statewide averages. You can visit the Daily Memphian's website for a chart that shows how your school performed. For the Daily Memphian, I'm Laura Testino.
More on these stories and others are available at dailymemphian.com.
So if I played 400 rounds of Monopoly with you and I had to play and give you every dime that I made, and then for 50 years, every time that I played, if you didn't like what I did, you got to burn it like they did in Tulsa and like they did in Rosewood. How can you win? How can you win?
Protest, arguments. When will we see the end? Be through with them. It's a constant disappointment that affects our children. There's killing in the name of the law, when the law of the land should be love for all. But we're shot down with shotguns while we run. If another mother has lost her son, your life matters. Shattered. It's gonna get better. Black lives matter. Black lives matter.
How can you win? You can't win.
Your life matters. Your life matters. Lives are shattered.
To the sound of my voice. Hey, this is the day Y'all know that I'm going to say that the Lord is made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Listen, I am sitting in the studios, in the best studios this side of heaven, in Crosstown Concourse, WYXR 91.7. You know what? We're raised by the sound. What's the sound, y'all? The sound for me is all about the community. The community. How do we move the needle in our communities? Our communities in Memphis are amazing places to live, thrive, work, play, worship, all those great things. But you know what? I know that we have to have individuals that care about our community just as much as you do. You know, my name is Dr. Talisa Franklin. Anybody know I have a positive billboard campaigns all over the city. And the reason why I have them over the city, maybe it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Is because I want to spread a little love and cheer and just making sure people are aware of just being kind to each other, right? It doesn't take anything away from you to be kind to your brother or your sister. So just be kind, you hear? Just be kind. And on today, y'all, I'm super excited to have a young lady that's in the studio with me that I so call sister, y'all. I always tell people we may not be from the same mama, but we got the same daddy, and the daddy name is Jesus the Christ. So we love God and we love our community, so we have to love each other. And I have seen her work tireless in this community. You know, I have a dear friend of mine, and we'll talk about all this when I really bring on the mic, but y'all know I gotta do all my long talking, right? Because I love to talk. I have a dear brother friend of mine. We have been friends since high school, Bishop Charles Bunn. And I think about Charles so many times growing up. You know, we all make some mistakes in life. And Charles really, you know, my baby, he made some poor choices in life. Come from a great family. So not saying, oh, where they family at? I knew for a fact Charles came from a notable family in the community, and they've given him everything. I used to call him a little spoiled brat when we were in high school, right? Because he couldn't get his way. But anywho, he made a poor choice, and of course, he fixed himself up, and now he's doing absolutely incredible things in Kansas City, Kansas. But also, he has comes back to Memphis quite often and do great work. And he was always plagued by the felony that was on his record because of his poor decisions, his poor choices. And then comes a little pretty little lady named Heidi the Coon, right? Y'all know I love Heidi Coon. She was in this office and she literally made expungement cool again, and she gave people back their life. And today he always talks about how he feels so much freer. And you know, it takes vision, it takes visionaries that can see beyond somebody's mistakes or their challenges and to say, what can I do in my capacity to make life better? And you're gonna hear, y'all, we're gonna talk about, because since she has been our clerk here for Shelby County, she has countless people that has the same story as Bishop Charles Bunn, that has made some poor choices, but finally got back on the right track, got an expungement, and woo, life has changed for the better for them. So, well, y'all welcome with me, my dear friend, my dear sister, our Shelby County clerk, Heidi Coon.
Hello, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you, sis, for coming honey. So before I get in, because you know I'm always... I was telling people about Bishop Charles, and we'll talk about all that stuff. Before we get there, will you just tell people, not the clerk, but who's Heidi Coon?
Who is Heidi Coon? Well, gosh, where do I start? Well, I moved to Memphis here in 1999, so I am a transplant, but this is still my home. And I started with Shelby County government 25 years ago, and I was in the health department, where I was charged with lowering adolescent pregnancy. And so I was a big believer in that. So we did that. And then I became the executive director of the Crime Victim Center, really helping all kinds of different people that have been affected by crime. Then I became the deputy director of community services over all victim and offender services, the Aging Commission, Veterans Affairs. Then I was charged with creating a training program for the 5,000 employees in Shelby County government because there wasn't a training center. So I created that from concept to fully operational status. Then I worked for Sheriff Odom as his lead strategist and special assistant, and really was working on how we help the jail with communication as well as reducing the opioid epidemic. And then I was elected in 2018 as criminal court clerk, and again in 2022.
Wow. Now, you know, I got to say this. You done brought up the hottest topic of today. Right. Is the jail.
The jail, yes.
Baby, J-A-I-L, the jail. It's the hot. It is the hottest topic there is. And so kind of share with us, what would be your words of advice, whether you're on the spectrum of for the jail or against the jail? What would be your word of advice, knowing that you understand the operation of the jail, that somebody, because I'm telling you, so many times I've been in rooms, and especially these last 2 weeks, where I'm in rooms where people are for the jail, and then I have, because they look at the economic development of it, then I have a lot that's not for it, that don't want the jail in the community. And my biggest concern to all of them is like, hey, can we come to the table and let's talk together and see what's going to be best for Memphis, right?
Exactly.
So sometimes we have our personal piece in it, but kind of tell our listeners right here, WYXR, your take on the big topic of the jail today. That's going to be the big topic.
So the jail seems to be a four-letter word, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, jail.
In more ways than one.
Yeah.
I think we really, people want a new jail, and I get that. We've had too many deaths in the jail. There needs to be some change. I am in agreement with that. But let's not rush to figure out what it is that we want to do. We have to make sure we have the funding, the capacity. We've got to make sure we do this correctly, because if we rush and try and do something too soon, we might not do it in the right way. And so we need to decide, where is the best location? Do we renovate 201? Do we move it out to near corrections? And I think you mentioned that you've been in several rooms. I think we need to have those constant and crucial communications because we can't do these behind the door deals.
Ooh, baby, you know what? Now, Heidi Cooney, you done said something, you done preached. When we're talking about the jail, we can't do what?
We cannot do behind the door deals. Ooh. We want to make sure that we have that communication with others, making sure that you're talking to all the stakeholders.
Yes. And one thing I love about you, sister, that you have an ear and a heart to listen to the people.
You're right. I lean in, I listen, and then I try and make decisions based on what I think is best for the community.
And not what was best for behind the door.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Y'all. Now, y'all heard that. Because we have a lot of people that is worried and wondering what's going on with the jail, right? And here you are, a person that's the criminal court clerk.
Right.
That I'm sure everybody you looked in their face, they know what the bars feel like. And they know what their life looks like, right? And so you have a different perspective because you've seen the pain, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I want to help the community in regard to that. We can't continue to have these deaths. We got to make sure it's renovated. I'm not sure it needs to be downtown, but I think, you know, and I have some ideas on where it needs to be and how it needs to be done. I won't disclose that now, but I just think we need to take our time and pause for a minute. Let's take a beat and make sure that we're going in the right direction, not the wrong one.
And so when you're saying going in the right direction and not the wrong direction, here you are now, fast forward from serving from juvenile court and all these different roles that you've been blessed to do. How do your office, because kind of tell us a little bit about your office, and I'm going to come back and kind of, let's have a conversation on how you have made sure that office literally helped the voiceless that comes to your office.
Well, and a lot of people don't understand what the criminal court clerk's office does, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think we would like that. Most people don't really know.
Right.
Let me clarify for the general public. We are the keeper of the records. So with the 9 criminal courts, we deal with the most heinous of crimes. Of course, your rapes, your child molestations, your murders, things like that. All the high profile cases right now in the court is the Govan case with Yo Gotti.
Yes.
So we're having to deal with that. So we're a keeper of all the records, of anything that happens within the court. Not only do we do that, we assign the court cases. And we also are the custodian of all of the property and evidence. And let me ask you, Talisa, mm-hmm. how much evidence do you think we have in storage?
A jagillion?
Yeah. How did you know?
A jagillion?
We have over 1 million pieces of property and evidence.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
and that we have to be responsible for. Now, we have those in two different locations because we have so many. So we have pre-trial evidence, we have evidence during trial, and then we have to keep certain evidence after trial. And so can you guess, like, what kind of cases in which we have to keep evidence forever?
The high-profile cases, the civil rights cases, I'm sure cases that deal with children, right?
Well, any case that's a murder or a rape, we have to keep those. Because if you've heard of the Innocence Project, which many of them have, they got to come back and they got to look at the evidence and see, well, was this person guilty or not guilty? Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep all that evidence. So it's a lot. So we're the custodian of all the property and evidence. And then what you know is very near and dear to my heart is we are the provider of expungements.
Yes. Expungement. You know, and I'm be very honest, I didn't hear much about expungements until you really got in office. Mm-hmm. And of course, when my friend was able to get an expungement for his poor choice, but he's doing so well right now. I'm so proud of him, right? I must say. Charles, I love you, baby. I love you. I'm so proud of you. But expungements is a big thing because there are so many people, let me be clear, that look like myself.
Mm-hmm.
Made a poor choice. And per the records, it seems like it was all hope was lost.
Yes.
And then a Supergirl comes in by the name of Heidi Klum. You need to get your cake, girl. Get your cake and put an H on it.
Yeah.
I'm the hope dealer. Yeah. Heidi got hope. And so you comes around and you say, let's illuminate that if you have what you need to have, mm-hmm. you do what you need to done, you haven't had this kind of case, we can possibly give you a second chance.
Yeah.
Talk through that, because to me that's big.
We've all made decisions that we regret. Some of us got caught with the things that we did. Others didn't. And I'm just a big believer in second chances. And you know that I often say, just because you have a past doesn't mean you can't have a future.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was elected, it was one of the things that I really wanted to do is to make sure we were giving people a second chance. Mm-hmm. The reason why you didn't hear about it is because it really wasn't being done. And currently people say, well, you only do it because it's your job. No, it's not just my job. It's my passion. We have to fill out the paperwork. But Talisa, we're about to have our 29th expungement clinic this Saturday.
Yes,
at Greater Amani. And we see between 100 to 800 people at these clinics. And so giving them this second chance is an opportunity for them to go back to school, get a job, provide for their families, maybe get a loan, buy a home. And then we reduce the recidivism rate. And isn't that what we want? Don't we have a problem with crime here in Memphis and Shelby County?
Right.
So the criminal court clerk's office takes that role of, we want to be the solution. It's not going to just be us. I get that. Mm-hmm. And we are a small cog in the wheel of justice, but a cog nevertheless.
Yes.
And so we keep those wheels churning. Mm-hmm. We don't want to see people coming back into the system. And a lot of times I get pushback of, well, you're letting out rapists or murderers. No, it's people that have lower level offenses, mm-hmm. and they're usually nonviolent offenses. Typically, they're drug related.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that individuals have that black cloud lifted from them, because we want to get them on that right track.
So you said something, and I'm sure there is our listeners out there, because sometimes we talk and we know what we're talking about. When you said lower level offenses, mm-hmm. that means somebody probably did what in very general?
It's usually drug related.
Using drugs, selling drugs?
Could be, yes. So it has to be a nonviolent crime.
Okay.
And it can't be like a DUI or domestic violence or any kind of assault. But what I always tell people is it can be a felony from A to E, but the variables are so different with every case.
Mm-hmm.
And so we tell people, if you can't come to a clinic, call our office. You can go online. You can check your eligibility, because it's now felonies A through E.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2021, there was a new law passed that said a clerk could waive the fee for an expungement. And I was the only clerk in the state of Tennessee that waived that fee, because mm-hmm. I believe $100 means a lot to so many. It could mean diapers, food, gas. you know, nobody wants to pay that for an expungement. It's a barrier. So I was about reducing barriers and increasing opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so I waive the fee. So it doesn't cost anybody anything unless they owe fines and fees from their case. And I know people who have paid thousands upon thousands of dollars to try and get an expungement. And I'm like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to have an attorney. You can just come to our office and we can help you free of charge.
You know, for you being the only clerk in the state of Tennessee that understood that $100 to some people is all they had. Mm-hmm. And so you had some people probably were eligible, but just couldn't find a week where they can spare $100. And I keep telling people, especially in our community, we have some people that's barely making $20,000 a year. Mm-hmm. Now, for that person that's making $20,000 a month, you $100, you go out and have a couple glasses of wine, you're okay.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But to that person that's making $20,000 a year, mm-hmm. that's less than $500 a week. And if they have children, if they have rent, and we know the cost of rent now is expensive, because you ain't thinking about they buying no houses, right?
Right.
$100 is a make and break, because when a person have a felony, what can they cannot do? I know they cannot vote. What else can they? Do you know what they cannot do?
Can't carry a weapon.
Okay.
They can't do that. And then, of course, the right to vote is usually taken mm-hmm. away. And it's just, it's unfortunate that those rights are taken away, because I'd like to see, okay, if they've gone into prison, their rights are taken away. But if when they leave, mm-hmm. they should be given back.
Absolutely.
You know, but to go back to the $100, it is very interesting to me that I get pushback sometimes, because they're like, well, you know what? That's revenue that you could be generating for your office, and you could hire two or three people with that money. Sure, I probably could. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. I am providing people opportunities in the community to get a job mm-hmm. and to prepare for, you know, their next step
yes.
and to give back to their family. And here's the exciting thing, Talisa. We have just about expunged 10,000 people in Shelby County.
So in your 8 years, we got 10,000
people. 10,000 people.
Wow.
So, okay, yes, two or three jobs in my office, or 10,000 jobs.
I like the 10,000.
Right? Those are much better
odds. I like those, right?
Yes. Because we're building the community. We want to help Memphis and Shelby County be the best that it can possibly be. And this is just one way to do it.
Yeah. And I do like that you make it your business to come in the community where the needs are, because there is another barrier that we deal with mm-hmm. in Memphis. It's transportation.
Right.
Right. We know we don't have the best adequate transportation, because it's so funny. When I travel, you know, there is a tram, there is a subway, there is something for people to get around. And me, those services are free. And I was like, they make sure they get people around. So we know we got some work to do on that. But you actually go in the communities. Mm-hmm. Where the people are.
You're right. We've done 29 clinics, and we do take it to the community because nobody wants to go to 201 Poplar. Mm-hmm. I work there, and I don't even like being in there. So we take it to different parts of the community all through Shelby County, because we do believe in taking it to the people. Mm-hmm. And that's why we see 100 to 800 people, and we just move it around. And that's what's so important, is people need to understand that we're there for them. Mm-hmm. And we have 25 vendors at these clinics too. So uh-oh. They can provide services for the individuals, educational services, employment opportunities, social services, community services, whatever they may need. They may not be able to get an expungement, but they can get services from all of these different vendors. And the wonderful Charles Bond, that was a great story, but I've got another one for you. There is an individual, his name is Jesse, and he was at our last, I think it was in February, mm-hmm. our expungement clinic, and he got several expungements. He walked around the vendors. He went to one of the vendors called Excellent Trucking Company. Mm-hmm. They paid for his fines and fees that he owed on his case, paid for him to go to their school. He received his CDL license, and he is now a certified trucker, and he has his own business, and this is all within 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is just another testimonial about what an expungement can do for an individual and a community. Because we're not just expunging 10,000 people. We're expunging families. We're helping communities. And that's why I am so passionate about it. Because I just, again, believe in giving back. And we've got to do better.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Kudos to you, Jesse. Yeah. And listen, there's a lot of other Jessies and Charles out there that has success stories. And I'm amazed that when you do these events, you do have all these other community partners. So it's just not an event, but it's actually an opportunity of a lifetime to get yourself in the face of the people that can help you. And so here you are, because you got this one this Saturday. Let's go ahead and plug that right now, and mm-hmm. we'll come back and talk about. Tell me about this Saturday, what time, how people can be there. Because listen, if you're out there and you have a record and you have some challenges, or you know somebody, mm-hmm. we all know somebody that needs some help, right? Give them the information. If they don't have transportation, get them there. This may be a game changer for them for the end of the year.
Absolutely. And as I said, it's this Saturday, August 23rd, from 9 to 1 at Greater Imani Church. And even if you don't live in the area, you can come from wherever mm-hmm. in the community and just see if you're eligible. Even if you question, I'm not sure, please come, because we can help you. And again, even if you don't get an expungement, mm-hmm. you might get services from some of the other vendors that are there. Yeah. And I just think it's really an opportunity for individuals.
I love it. So when you're thinking about your office, so beyond keeping the jagillions of records, mm-hmm. but you're also releasing the records of people that needed a second chance. You know, and I think about you've literally went all over the city. So you didn't just pick one neighborhood or right. one community. You'd have been to North Memphis, South Memphis, Raleigh, Whitehaven, because you know, and there's not one sector of Memphis that does not have somebody mm-hmm. that needs your services.
And our largest one was at Hope Church.
Oh.
And that we saw over 800, close to 1,000, I think, individuals. Mm. And it was just truly amazing. And we can usually expunge about 20% of everyone who comes. And wow. a recent one was an 82-year-old man who had been carrying around his record for 50-plus years. And he was 82, and he said, I'm never going to go back to work. I'm not going to do, you know, anything, but I just wanted it off my record, and I wanted that off my shoulders.
Yeah.
And that just brought tears to my eyes, because here he was waiting 50-plus years to get this expungement. And finally, at 82, we were able to give it to him.
Wow. And so those are the stories I think people don't hear enough of, mm-hmm. right? They don't hear the good stories, because we know that people do make mistakes. But then right. People do make a complete 360 turnaround.
Yes.
And so let me ask you this. How long, if a person have done something that they're not so proud of,
mm-hmm.
How long will it take? Say, for instance, if a person did a crime in January and their lawyer has gotten them off, now they're living their life, how soon can they call your office to try to get it off their record? Is there a waiting period?
There's a waiting period of about 5 years, and they okay. have to make sure they pay all their fines and fees. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because this is something else that I did, speaking of people not having money.
Okay.
So sometimes that's a barrier. If they have, let's say, $2,000 of fines and fees and they can't pay it, that means they can't get an expungement. Mm-hmm. So what I did was created something called the settlement solution. If they can come in and bring me 50% of what they owe, I will zero out their balance so that they can get an expungement.
Wow. So from a business perspective, how do you survive giving away all these fees? Because some people's like, they got to be a catch. Why would she give away all these fees? What's she getting out of it?
Well,
let's talk about that.
If you think about it, that's probably money I would have never seen anyway. They're just never going to pay it, right? Yeah. If they owe $2,000, $5,000, $50,000, they're just not going to pay on it.
Uh-huh.
And I would have never seen it. But now it's mutually beneficial, because they're able to get an expungement and I'm able to get some funding.
Yeah.
So that's how that works.
Wow. And so what happens to the people that's not in Memphis, made the wrong decision in Memphis and maybe mm-hmm. moved away? Are they eligible, or is it just for Shelby County residents?
Well, if the case happened in Shelby County, then they're eligible.
Okay.
It's no federal cases, but if they were in Mississippi and did something, we can't expunge it. So
okay.
it has to be within Shelby County. If they've moved away, and this has happened before, I've had people in California and Connecticut call me and say, hey, can I get an expungement? We've helped them that way. So yes, absolutely.
So Heidi, what happens? Is there an opportunity that if a person's having a community event or mm-hmm. the church is wanting to do something, empower the people, are you open beyond the expungement clinics to come out, you or your team, to really just share that information? Because I keep telling people, everybody don't retain information, mm-hmm. right? And everybody can't read well. Let's just be very clear.
Yes.
If we having a problem with literacy with our children that's in our school system, those children keep going to bed, keep getting up, they become adults. Mm-hmm. And now some of those adults have it adults. And so you have the mommies and the daddies and the aunties and uncle and the grandmamas and the granddaddies. They can't read, but when somebody come talk to them and they're able to raise their hand and ask questions, mm-hmm. now they feel like they are a part and they're not looked down at, but they're looking like there's hope with Heidi.
Yes, absolutely. So we go all the time mm-hmm. to resource fairs, to public meetings, things like that, to talk about expungements mm-hmm. and to talk about our office, because we cannot do a whole expungement clinic everywhere all the time because it's quite a production.
Yeah.
And so I do have staff and we go out. I sometimes go out and talk about it. We have booths set up. And I think that's what's important, is to talk to people and let them yeah. know that at least it's available to them. And because, like I said, they can always call or go online. And I'm glad you talked about the literacy, because I completely agree with you. And that's why we've included them as one of our vendors at the clinic.
Oh, God. Literacy Miss Al.
Yeah, because
I love it.
What's interesting is we want people to go out and get a job, but what if they can't read the application? They don't understand it. And so we need to make sure that we're focusing on adult literacy as well. So we are looking at all these different aspects and issues and trying to help the people of Memphis and Shelby County.
And, you know, that's what we got to stop thinking, that it's one thing fits all. Mm-hmm. One thing fixes our community. No, we need the whole community mm-hmm. to fix our community. So it takes with the literacy, and it takes with making sure people have the job opportunities. How do you deal with, because we know in Memphis, everybody are not all English speaking. So you have non-speaking people that are legal, mm-hmm. that have made some poor choices.
Yeah.
How do you handle that when it's so predominantly, I've opened up when he's talking about his Hispanic community, making sure they feel valued and heard. I was doing public speaking at a particular school, and I saw the room was full of Hispanics, mm-hmm. right? And of course, it was a lot of, you know, non-speaking Hispanics, English people. And I was like, so I'm not talking to them because they don't know what I'm talking about, right?
Right.
I said, so can y'all delay this and find me something here? Can somebody interpret it, right? And it's like, huh? I said, I'm not talking.
Yeah.
Until you give me an interpreter. I said, because if I have an interpreter, then I know that everybody in the room feels valued mm-hmm. and heard.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need a photo op. I don't need a picture. I don't need to say that I spoke. But if the people in the room couldn't listen, how do you handle that population that is rapidly growing in our community?
So we have interpreters. We have I have three individuals on staff that are bilingual. And actually, Spanish is their first language. And so they help them. We also have something in our office called the language line. And so it doesn't matter what language it is, that we can call and have that interpreter through
Ooh.
The phone. I was initially going to have an expungement clinic for the Hispanic community.
Okay.
But I think right now there is such a fear with congregating mm-hmm. the Hispanic community together because of ICE.
Yes.
That we have delayed that, which is unfortunate because I think there is a need and it's something we haven't done yet. But I just... there's such a fear surrounding it, so we're not doing that currently. But we do see individuals that English is not their first language, and we assist as best we can, either mm-hmm. through interpreters or through our language line.
Yeah. And that's, I think, in every office, especially in the city of Memphis and Shelby County, we need to be mindful of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're talking about other offices, okay? We know that you do with all these external partners, but even from an internal, maybe can you help us? Because again, you said what your role is. There are so many people, when I talk to people, they said, Tlisa, I said, girl, that ain't even that person's office. Why are you wasting time to talk to them? They can't fix your problem. You need this. So how are you gonna be fussing about what your child doing in school and you wanna call, say, a county commissioner or city council? That ain't what they do. You need to call your school board leader, right? And so I think because you are an elected official, I love to ask other elected officials, to kind of share the offices of others while mm-hmm. you, while people are listening and we got their attention, and how your office works with that office mm-hmm. to make sure we have a better outcome for the community. Because again, if we continue, you know, anybody know I get on soapbox. I'm so doggone tired of everybody working in silos.
Yes.
And nobody working yes. together, and nobody really doing what we need to do to move the needle in our mm-hmm. community, because it's about me, myself, and I in the back room, right? Can we come out the back room and let's do it all in the front and say, what's best for the community? Mm-hmm. How can this office A help office C and be the bridge for B? Versus, well, I don't like B, so I don't want B in the middle, but we missing the B to help get people across to C. Kind of talk about the offices that you know that you work with and you have to work with that's actually building the bridge mm-hmm. for our community to get to that next level.
Well, and it's interesting because we get those calls all the time of, hey, I have a pothole, or my trash isn't getting picked up. But we never say, and I tell my staff all the time, we never say that's not our job. Mm. We try and assist the best to our ability. Like, we put them or connect them with the people that, you know, whether it be the city or General Sessions or the trustee or whomever it may be. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just stop with us and say that's not our office.
Yeah.
Because we're all part of Shelby County government and we want to help people. That's what I'm in the business of doing is helping people. But I agree with you. We do work in a lot of silos and we're so fragmented. And I think that there's a duplication of effort too much. And I think if we worked in tandem or collectively, we could get so much further. And there's such a disconnect.
Yes.
Even within the criminal justice system, you are seeing so much infighting. And how is that helping the community?
Right.
And everybody wants the power, the money, the control. I just feel like we need to spread that out. Let's think of what's the greater good and move towards that goal mm-hmm. and work better and more efficiently together.
And I think when you say, for me, I'm seeing so much infighting mm-hmm. where the communities is suffering. And so when you even think about your clerk position, there are so many people that get you confused with Clerk Tammy.
Sure.
Clerk Wanda, they just don't know.
No.
And so now you're mad. And you're mad, really, because you didn't know the right office to call, or you felt like you couldn't do it because you have a more of allegiance to this person, but this person can't fix the community's mm-hmm. problem. And so we got to get over the allegiance of saying, I like this person, but say, can this person fix the community's problem? So that means if I got an expungement issue, I don't need to call Clerk Wanda Halbert that's dealing with tags and doing that office, because Clerk Wanda can't help me with expungement. I need to call Clerk Heidi. Well, I just feel more comfortable. And what I even love about Wanda and Tammy and all them, they're all so open, right? So if we all work together, especially as women,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
You notice I call out women, right?
Yeah.
If women would just make sure that we work together, imagine what the community could look like in our community if all of us are working together and sharing that information. We can't gatekeep no more.
Right.
So if I made a poor decision and I got an expungement and I know my sister over here made a poor decision similar to mine mm-hmm. and I'm says, oh girl, I'm thriving, I'm doing this and I'm doing that, I got my gun permitted, I got mm-hmm. this. But if I don't reach over and get that sister and say, come on girl, let me show you what I did. Yeah. Let me show you how to help you, because we can get help together. How do you, as a woman, being doing what you do, help other move other women, even in your office? Because I know you are a builder. I sometimes watch your social media when you post like your employee of the month.
Yeah.
But it seems it's genuine. I don't mm-hmm. feel like it's a photo op.
Right. Yeah.
So how do you, as the clerk, continue to be of value amongst your staff so that when people like me that call that don't know nothing, but they can tell me everything with a good attitude and a good tone? Because I can tell you, I tell people, Brandy, baby, bring that tone down.
Yes.
Now, I'm hype by nature, but you're going to bring that tone down, boo. Because I can tell that the tone is not being happy to me.
Yes. And that's a lot to unpack.
It is.
Everything that you just said. Let me go back to what you said about the women. Mm-hmm. So when I look at it, I think we need to work together. Mm-hmm. And when I say together, I want you to think about the word. It's together. Okay? So we're working more together for us women mm-hmm. because I don't think, and unfortunately, women don't stand up for one another. I mean, I think we push one another down. And you just mentioned, well, you're over here thriving and your sister friend over here sees that, but you don't do anything for her. Mm-hmm. Lift her up, take her hand, tell you how you and what you did to survive, to do better and help her. Mm-hmm. Because I will tell you, out of the 10,000 expungements we've completed, 3,500 of those are women.
Women.
3,500. And I don't think people think about that. I think, unfortunately, when we think about expungements,
think about men.
We think about men. Mm-hmm. And we think about African-American men. And there are not. There's a lot of Caucasian men. There's a lot of Hispanic men that we help. But 3,500 women. And women here in Memphis and Shelby County are typically the breadwinners. They are single parents. So if they don't get an expungement and have an opportunity to get a job, they're not able to provide for their family. And then they go back to a life of crime. But I just believe in working together to help each other.
Y'all know I'm going to use it, right? Together. Yes. Y'all know your girl going to use it. I'm going to have to say, y'all, my sister clerk, Coon said this, but I've got to use this too. So come on, I like it. I like
it's
her.
Just, it's just working together for the betterment of the community.
Yes.
And I do think that we as elected officials need to do better and communicate more effectively with the community, but also work better with the other electeds. I'm always willing to say, hey, we don't do that, but you know, talk to this clerk. And honestly, Talisa, most people are confused about the clerks because until they need us, they don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Especially even in elections, I find that because they're like, what does a criminal court clerk do? What does general sessions, probate, county clerk?
Yeah.
It's very confusing, and I understand that. And so we just need to educate people and so they have an understanding of what it is that we do. I feel fortunate that with all the expungements we've done and when all the speaking engagements I go to, so many people say, oh, I know who you are. You're the expungement lady.
Just like when I get people say, you're the billboard lady. Yep. I was like, I got a name.
But as long as you know that what I do and I do it for the community, that's what's important.
Yeah,
you know, because I've been called lots of names. I'll take expungement lady.
You know what? I was at the Hip Hop Awards. Award shout out to Michael Dockery. Dockery had this the People's Hip Hop Awards. And it was so funny. It was a young girl. She was so pretty, so funny. She said, you're that billboard lady that makes me do right every day. I was like, okie dokie. And so, but it made me feel good that they're that generation was watching and they understood.
It's working.
It's working.
Yeah. You know? And it makes them smile every day. It makes me smile when I see your billboards.
And I have you say, I be talking to you. I say, girl, keep talking.
Yes.
Keep talking.
I even sometimes have to text you to say that.
Yeah.
You
know? And it makes my heart feel good.
Yeah.
I tell you, when I get, it makes me feel good. And I think what double makes me feel good is when I get hate mail. Because I, you know, one hate mail, and this was probably the funniest. She said, don't you got something better to do with your money?
Right.
I was like, oh, God loves you. Be kind. You're amazing. I just started recording. I'm like, but baby.
Because you know that's really not about you.
Right.
That's about them.
Yes.
And
yes.
You've got to move beyond that.
Yeah.
I mean, and as women, we unfortunately get judged a lot more harsh.
Because I'm a woman.
Yes. Yeah.
If it was a man doing it, they'd be like, oh, my dude, cool.
Yeah.
But now I'm a girl. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing it because I want to say that I don't want to be a problem. I want to be a part of the solution in building morale and confidence back in our community. But I wanted to say this because I know with you being the keeper of the records, we know we're dealing with the Young Dolph and the GoFan. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Y'all, this whole trial, I don't know, y'all, today. If I were you to keep your mental health intact, I probably wouldn't turn the TV on, right? Because it's either going to talk about the jail or you going to talk about the case.
The GoFan case,
so is everything is still criminal.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the criminal stuff. But here we are now with this case, and they keep bringing up people named that are deceased, right? What happens to a family if a family wants to see the records of somebody that's deceased, that case you had? How do they go by that?
Yeah, that's kind of a hard thing because we usually need the individual there. We have done one or two. It doesn't happen very often. But if they can show that the person is deceased, we can certainly do that.
Because what I'm noticing now, this is the age of technology and the age of Baby, go sit over there and that chair will hold you. And mm-hmm. you're going to have someone say, why you think it's going to hold me? Everybody want to know the who, what's, when's, and why. Mm-hmm. And so now I think because of technology, and now let's be real, because of AI.
Yeah.
Everything that you put in AI don't come back right.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell anybody, don't trust everything AI pushes out because it's artificial intelligence.
Right.
So how has your office been able to handle that? Because you probably feel people that when you say you're not eligible, mm-hmm. but AI say that they are. Mm. Have you ever had any sisters like that?
We haven't had any yet. I mean, and the law changes all the time. So I tell people that even if we told you, say, 2 years ago that you were ineligible, come back and ask. Because it's quite possible that the law may have changed and opened it up to where mm-hmm. now you're eligible. And that happened recently to two women. They now were eligible for an expungement, and she had been coming to every single clinic.
Oh, wow.
And so
wow.
just because you get a no one time, don't stop. Keep coming back. And another thing that I'm working on, Talisa, I'm really excited about, this is the second year I've been pushing through legislation, is automatic expungements. So if an individual is in court and it's either dismissed or what's called not prosecuted or null pros, that person leaves the courtroom thinking, oh, it's off my record. Let me go apply for this job. Well, guess what? They apply for that job, the background check, it pops up mm-hmm. and they're like, but it was dismissed.
Yeah.
So what I want is to have an automatic expungement in the courtroom then and there. It's signed. Then they leave. They know it's expunged. And so I'm trying hard and working on that.
Now that would be because I can believe when a person leaves the courtroom, mm-hmm. they think it's over.
Yeah, and it
and
is
again,
not.
That becomes awareness and literacy.
Yes,
because all they heard. Because I know a young man that just said he took a case and just to get out, and he was like, because he didn't do it, he's just trying to get out of it, right? Yeah. But he didn't have no clue that it was a felony, right? Yeah. And it's carried him all his life, and poor choice. Being with somebody that said he did, and he was like trying to get out because he'd never been to jail. And he was like, man, I thought it was over mm-hmm. when the public defender told me if you just plead guilty, it'd be over. He said, but I didn't know it was going to ruin my life the rest of my life.
And just think about when you're standing in front of court, it's scary.
Oh, God,
you're
yes.
nervous. You're not hearing everything. You're shaking. You don't know what to say. And it's just, it's so much and it's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that we're very clear that this person got an expungement in the courtroom because otherwise they'll have to apply for one.
And that's a whole other process.
Yeah, unnecessary.
So y'all, let's make sure that we are sharing the information. Clerk Coon, tell people how they can look up information, mm-hmm. how they can get in touch with your office and all that. I think that's imperative.
Yes. So they can call the criminal court clerk's office at 901-222-3200. They can ask for expungements. That way is the best way. Otherwise, they can go to our website, criminalcourtclerkcoon.com, and they're able to check their eligibility right there online, or they can come to a clinic. So there are multiple ways. If they don't have transportation, that is a great way to do it. Or if we're not having a clinic, because we typically have 3 to 4 clinics a year, mm-hmm. You don't have to come to that to see if you're eligible. So they've got all these different ways to find out if they're eligible for an expungement.
Listen, y'all, you got that information. Don't you dare not share that vital information that is going to help you or somebody that you love. We're grateful to have Clerk Coon, Heidi Coon in the studios of WYXR 91.7. Y'all know what? We raised by the sound. And you know the sound about Talisa is all about the community. And I just love that on this Saturday, there is going to be an expungement clinic. And I want to take a moment, a point of privilege for me is to say how much I love Apostle Bill Atkins, right?
Yes.
I believe he has been a pioneer in this radio. So when I anytime get behind a mic, I think about people like him that stood firm, mm-hmm. unapologetic, and mm-hmm. said the words for the people on the radio. And so just to have this at his church, I think is major.
Yes.
Because if anybody know Apostle Atkins, he's all about the community. He's all about moving the needle in the community, and he does it unapologetic. He really reminds me of a Pastor KT Whalum, because
yeah.
he tells it all about the community. He loves the children, and I absolutely love him too, y'all. So that's just a side note. Y'all know I just love
there
him.
There are so many that we love.
Oh, yeah. And that's the
yeah.
funny part about me. because I'm friends and I have so many pastors that I love. So when I walk into the room, I be trying to hug them all real fast because I want y'all all get the same love because I love y'all. I love y'all. And so kind of talk about the flow for Saturday. Mm-hmm. Address, what time it doors open, maybe tell them what time they suggest. What do people need to bring? Because I don't want them showing up, wasting their time, and you don't have the right material. So I'm giving you a little minute while I'm running my mouth. I want you to get a pen and paper. So you, or you give it to the friends you know and say, this is what you need to bring. So you need to do a list and say, this is what you need to bring to the expungement clinic on this Saturday at Gradia Money. Clerk Heidi Kuhn, tell us what we need to bring.
First of all, realize it is a non-judgment zone. So please don't be afraid to come. I don't care what you did. I don't care when it was. We're there to help you and to give you that second chance. But this Saturday, Greater Imani Church, which is at 3824 Austin P. Highway, and it's from 9 till 1. And what you need to bring a positive attitude and also just a government ID. That's all you need. You don't need to know your case number. You don't even need to know if it was General Sessions or criminal court, because we're going to look all that up for you. We don't need that. Just a legal ID. That's all you need.
That's all.
That's it.
Saturday, y'all, all roads got to lead to Grady Imani Church. What time?
From 9 to 1.
9 to 1. I would say get there a little early, you think?
A lot of times people are there. There's a line, but we process as quickly as possible. So, you know, when you can get there. That's all I'm saying. Just make sure you're there.
All right. Clerk Heidi Kuhn, y'all, let's make sure we get there and support this expungement clinic. And so thank you so much, Clerk Kuhn. Did I forget anything before we wrap up? You want to say your last words or whatever I forgot? Baby, the mic is yours.
You know, I don't think you forgot anything. I just appreciate the opportunity because I want people to understand that I believe in second chances. I believe, and not only that, is in my role as clerk, this is what I do, but I also believe very highly in the community, and I want to see it thrive. And so in our office, we do a lot of things that to give back to the community. We feed the homeless. We give prom dresses to girls that can't afford it. We do food drives. Clothing drives. We do so much for the community just because I believe in giving back.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm happy to be here with you always, my girlfriend. And thank you for allowing me to promote it and to realize that this isn't my job. This is my passion.
Woo! That's deep, David. Deep, baby. And, you know, thank you, Clerk Kuhn. And her saying that, I want to say this for me, when I do anything when it comes to community, it does not ever feel like a job. I know it's my calling. It's my calling to be a voice in the community. It's my calling to be that bridge where I can connect community to the people. And I'm just grateful that the Lord allows me to do it on any platforms I'm on. So y'all make sure that if you are not following me on social media, it is at Talisa Franklin, but you can always go to my website, talisafranklin.com, and see all things Talisa, how you can get connected. We have some problems, but I'm telling you, y'all, we can get over every problem, every challenge when we work together. And I do believe working together is everything. Want to remind people on September the 10th is our Stereo Sessions hot dog plus a cocktail party at the Memphis Listening Lab. Then on September 13th to the 20th is our Fall Pledge Drive. Come on, y'all. Y'all know there's been so many cuts to public radio, so we want to go ahead and get those coins so we can be a blessing and keep our station flowing. And then Thursday, October the 2nd. Oh, it's a WYXR 5th birthday party. So y'all know it's going to be a party. Just not a party, but a party, y'all. It's going to be really, really fun, and I'm excited. But know that I love you, baby. Absolutely, positively love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Make this day, make this moment, make this second the best ever, and learn how to be the best version of you, baby, because everybody else is already taken. Until next week, I am Dr. Talisa Franklin. Be blessed is my prayer for you. We'll be right back.
You make me feel so good.
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 This is Emma Hampton, and you're listening to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis.
Man, nice.